We are looking at number 39. This is not Sunday school, but this is a Sunday school lesson. This is what's in the Gospels for us, but not to us. Number 39, John chapter 21. We did 18, 19, 20, and 21 this morning. But there's one little spot in there that I thought, well, let's do it. And that's in verse 15. We know a long time ago that Sam Gitt made that test as far as the agape phileo thing. And I thought, because it shows up in the last chapter there, chapter 21, I thought we'd talk about that a little bit. John, what did I say? Okay, John 21. It doesn't take long for me to forget what I said, so I don't know what's with that. Yeah, I'm not even old yet. Must be on that egg withdrawal. Chapter 2, last of John. And there's a couple of things here that we might not have talked about before. Verse 15, they're all done here. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Remember, because he was fishing before. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So you read through that thing, and you've got these people, these Greek studying people, that they go through that thing, and they come up with a little tidbit that makes us feel really stupid as English-only kind of people. Because, see, these guys have been to college, and they've been to the Bible studies, and they've studied the Greek language, and they know how to do this. Well, you know, honestly, I know how to do this too. I really do. You buy a Strong's Concordance, and you get some really good glasses, because this thing is like major tiny. I mean, even up close without my glasses, I can look at the little dots in the letters, Jimmy. But what you do here is you'd look at a word. So we're going to look at love in, take your pick, 15, 16, or 17, so whatever. And you look up the word love in this thing, if you can see it. You know, you look at the top letters, which are really big. Then you find love down here, and there's a whole bunch of them, but you find the verse you're looking for. Okay, so we're looking at here, boy, I'll tell you, even in front of everybody, this stuff is a challenge. You do the head thing, you know. When you find the spot in your glasses, you can find this thing. And we're looking at John 21. Thou knowest that I love. Oh, okay, there we go. So then there's an itty-bittier little number on here, 5, 3, 6, 8. I think that's what that says. And a 3 and an 8 at this stage is like about the same. So you get in the back of this thing. I mean, we find all the words, so that's nice. It tells them where all the words love are at. Matter of fact, this thing has in the back all the ands. You want to do a Bible study, study all the ands in your Bible. And if you get that thing done before you pass away, you can study all the fours, and you can study all the thes. I mean, this guy didn't leave a word out. And from what I've read, it took him 12 years to make this thing. Back in the days, they didn't have a concordance. He put each word and each sentence that word, he'd file in a filing system. And that's how we could do it. And he really did us a good thing. But he also did us a bad thing, because he was a corrector. He wasn't a good guy in some respects. So if they could put out a Strong's Concordance, which is what it's called, a concordance, with just the words, well, you need, and you know, they can make them bigger then. They could do that. But what they do, they give you a number, 5, 3, 6, 8, something like that. So you dig in the back here, and you look for the number 5, 3, 6, 8. 5, 6, 3, 8. I mean, hey, what's the difference when you can't read this thing anyway? And I'm just making this up at this point here as far as this word. This word is Yowzacher. Oh, now, listen, folks, I'm going to teach you tonight about Yowzacher. And you're going to sit there and go, I have no clue what a Yowzacher is. Well, hey, it's a Greek word for from? Well, that was a good one to pick. Well, just remember this next time. Where are you, Yauzacht? What do you mean? Where are you from? That's Greek for Yauzacht. Where you from is Yauzacher. You might get yourself a church job somewhere doing something like that. And so what they do then, you go to the back of this thing and you find the word, love, and you see the Greek word that's used for it. Because, see, in another place, the word love might have another one, a different word in Greek. Because, see, there's different words that you use in the Greek thing to mean what you really want to mean. And so these guys go through this stuff, and then they read the English, and they come to this study, like, what does this mean? Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him, and Peter said, yes. And the third time, lovest thou me? And Peter said, listen, you know I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Well, what does that all mean? Well, listen, if you really knew what that meant, did you know that we could look up the word love, and it tells us 25, and it tells us 26. And that refers to agape and phileo. So we've heard that before. Agape love means intimate, selfless, everything love. I mean, everything. And then phileo is just a friendly kind of, how you doing, shake your hand, nice to see you kind of stuff. We love each other because we're brethren and that sort of a thing. Nothing spectacular. There's still a love there. There's for you there, though. And because, see, you folks don't know that which love we're talking about here, then you need to trust me so that I'll tell you whether this is an agape love or a phileo love. And you're supposed to go, ooh. That's what they do, you know. So, here's what they would say, reading through this thing. And this is agape, is an intimate, selfless love. And phileo is a casual love. It's just a casual, friendly kind of a love. Because, see, love isn't enough. The word love just isn't enough. Now, by the way, if we were to go into the tribulation, we see the word love when it comes to brethren as agape love. They got that one right. And they got some of these right as far as how it might look, but there's a challenge in here, though. Because, see, remember, in the tribulation, their love of the brethren will depend, their salvation will depend on the love of the brethren. So that better be a serious love. Before we go, look at 1 John chapter 3. I'll show you what I mean. Now, we don't have to go to the Greek to learn whether this is agape or phileo. And so this one study that wasn't really Sam Gipp's study took us to 1 John and some of these other places and showed some things. And it was interesting to me because I don't think a whole lot of people realize, unless you're a divider, rightly divider, that the love in the tribulation, their salvation is depending on that. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Well, we stop and let's look up the love that's in that verse, and is that an agape love or a phileo love? Which we won't do right now. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Boy, isn't there a sermon in that statement. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoa. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word and in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth, we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him, because we love the brethren. And we will die for the brethren. And we better be doing right. If they have a need, you better be there if you can fulfill that need. Or you're a murderer. And murderers have no part of eternal life with God. That's 1 John chapter 3. Whew, that 1 John chapter 3 isn't written to us. That's a pretty powerful love that we have to have. So we look back at John then, which is still Gospels, and he's still talking about a love. But the Greek people will somehow take that love, the word love, and change that into either agape or phileo. Either it's a real serious, deep kind of a love, or it's just a how you doing, love you, brother kind of a thing. So they go through John chapter 21, verse 15. Here's what it sounds like. So the Lord's talking to Peter here. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What? Oh, I thought there was a... Okay. I got it. Okay. Thought it was in the right place. Hey, it could fall apart any time with these eyes. And so the scholar guys say, by looking up that particular love, they say, do you love me? Do you agape me? That's a real deep, intimate, selfless love. And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But see, there in the Greek it says phileo. So Peter loves Jesus, but not like he ought to. Ah, good sermon there. You know, you folks, you love your book and you love the Lord, God, but you don't love him like you ought to, kind of a thing. Here comes the guilt. Where'd I stop at? More than these. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Agape, they say. Deep love. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But Peter means phileo. Doesn't quite love him. Yes, I love my Bible, Pastor, but you know, just kind of not a whole lot. But it's a good book. That's where they put you. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He says it again. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And this time Jesus says, phileo. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Phileo. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And the whole teaching here is that Jesus gives in and allows Peter to love him sort of, kind of. But not the agape love. So they come up with all this preaching and the teaching about the agape phileo thing. And you can go to churches that are agape something or other, or some counseling centers or book companies or whatever. You know, you got the Alpha Omega stuff. You got the agape things too. I mean, you can get a book from agape publishers and agape printers, and because they love deeply. That's a Greek thing. That's a serious thing to watch out for. Why is that? Well, to do this Greek thing, it's not a Bible translation issue. It's a King James Bible crowd that will say, yes, they'll stand up here, and I remember back in South Dakota, they would stand up. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God, and I never heard that guy say King James. Nice people and the whole thing, you know. And remember one day I asked him, you know, you never say King James. You just wave this Bible and say the Word of God is perfect and pure and it's the final authority of everything, but you never say King James. So about 3 o'clock in the morning in the car, he finally admitted to me that, yes, he looks to the Greek as his final authority. Finally, as my first one I ever dealt with. And last one, too, probably, in lots of ways. And so, see, it's not a Bible translation issue. It's how to need the... You need the Greek language. And I know we could care less, but we're talking with people now that have different Bibles, and their issue is their pastor told them that Bible is from a different Greek language or whatever, different Greek something or other there. And so they have to know Greek to know which translation is correct. So nowadays, it is a translation issue. But if you get into the King James crowd, we're famous for people that they believe that King James Bible is the Word of God in its original form, in the Greek, and I know the Greek. And if you want to know the Greek, you can study this, man. You can get out your little concordance and you can learn that too. And then you can know this spot right here, because not many people can know this, but we can know down there. Peter was saying, yes, I love you, phileo, and Jesus was trying to get him to admit a deep love, and Peter says, nah, just kind of a love. And finally, when they were done, Jesus gave in and said, do you love me at least phileo? And Peter says, hey, I love you, phileo. We're together, buddy. Kind of a thing. And then on it goes. So, Sam Gipp comes up with this test, and it's worth taking. It's just baloney, the agape phileo thing. And I'll show you, we'll go through this little test, and we'll see it tonight. And So grab your little piece of paper right there. What we're going to do is we're going to look at these verses. Oh, can I? I guess I got a copy, don't I? Did you see the answers? Okay, good. On the website out there, the answers are in gray at the end of the sentence, but don't look at the answer when you're doing this. You're cheating. And I wonder what cheating is in Greek. Ashwub. Ashwub. You're ashwubbing. Okay. Okay, let's just go on. Have we got anything else we wanted to yak about that? No, there's stuff on here that'll just... No. See, I'm not going to tell you that the Greek agape thing is... You're going to see it for yourself. Here we go. Grab your Bibles, grab your pencils. Don't forget, agape means deep, intimate, selfless love, and phileo means, you know, whatever. Just an okay thing. Luke, now you want me just to shut up and let you just do this on your own? Let's not do that because it would be a long time on the video. Luke 11:42, talking about the love of God. What do you think? Don't say anything and just keep your mouth quiet. Don't even tell your kids. Agape, just an A for agape. Is agape, is this kind of love? The love of God, as it says there, is His love? It's just a deep, serious, intent, intimate kind of a love? Or is it a buddy-buddy kind of a love? What do you think it would be? Well, I can't take it now because I've... I'll try it anyway. What do you think it would be? I mean, this is God's love. Okay, now don't work ahead either. I know there are kids like that in the class too. You know, so there's always somebody doing number 12, you know. Number 2, am I too quick? Now, this is on the website, so you folks can get out there and do it. And if you click in my link, it actually takes you to a site that does an online testing thing. So you can do this as a family. John 5:42. We might as well look them up. Let's just look them up. Let's take the time. That way you can't work ahead of me. John 5:42. It's good, always good to flip the pages anyway. John 5:42, when it talks about here, I know you, but ye have not the love of God in you. So what's the love of God? Is it a deep God? Well, I would certainly think it would be. This is from God. Sure, I would think so too, yes. Now let's look at Matthew 10:37 here. Matthew 10:37. And it talks about here about he that loveth father or mother. 10:37. Let's see what it says here. He that loveth father or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. Okay? Now, what kind of love are we talking about here? Now, you have to have love more love than loving the Lord. You're loving your mom and dad more than God. Is that what do you think you'd have there? What kind of love? He that loveth father and mother more. That would have to be pretty obvious, isn't it? But anyway, let's go here to Revelation chapter 3. Am I going too fast? Are you with me? A little too fast? Okay. I'm not a slow bee guy. I don't want to just have you sit there. I don't want you to work ahead. That's what I don't want you to do. Revelation chapter 3, if you can get there, verse 9. What if you were a scholar, what would you think would fit there? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What kind of love would God have towards us? Do you think it would be? What do you think makes sense there? Count to 10. 1, 2. And scan the crowd. See if they're with us. A couple of pencils go down. In the old school days, when you're done, you put your pencils down. Remember all that kind of stuff? Put your pencils down, close your hands, and just sit there. And then we go on. What's that? I can tell. Anybody ever have that? You probably had that. Your parents were probably like that with you, huh? Take a bite of food, put your spoon down, sit there and chew it. Not quite? Okay, have I gas bagged enough? Ready for the next one? Look at verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The Lord. Lord. That's the Lord loving those that He's going to rebuke and chasten. What kind of love do you think that would be? Okay, we're going to... Those of us that are done, we can zip over to Matthew 23. Jimmy, you ready? You ready, Jimmy? I don't want to hurry you. Yes, I do. Matthew 23, verse 6. Talking about these Pharisees here, that all these little verses up there about all these Pharisees, and it says in verse 6, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. So what kind of love would they have towards the rooms upstairs? What do you think? Those of you that have rooms upstairs, how much do you love your room up there? How much do these folks love those uppermost rooms? You know, the attic. Those attics are pretty fun, the little pointy jobbers. How much do they love those uppermost rooms? What do you think? Okay. What do you think? Are we ready to roll here? We'll go to John 12 if you are. No trick ones in it. Don't think, well, you know, he says this ought to be that, but I'll bet you it's this. Just what would you put down for the answer here? Don't you hate teachers that talk during a test too because you're trying to concentrate? I remember that. John chapter 12, verse 25. How many are done to the test? Okay. John chapter 12, 25. He says here, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. What kind of love are we talking about here that you could lose your life, you love it? Phileo or agape? Deep, solid, intimate life, love? Or is it just a whatever? Luke 11. Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 43. Another love here. Oh, here these guys are again. This is a neat one. Woe unto you in verse 33, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues. Now we're talking about the seats in the back rows up there by the, you know, the high ones up there. The uppermost seats in the synagogues. Or we talk about those thrones up front. I mean, what are we talking about here? What kind of love do they have for these uppermost seats? And then we slither over here to John chapter 5, verse 20. Remember doing this a long time ago? I don't know if we ever actually took the test or not. But John chapter 5, verse 20. Oh, now this ought to be a cinch. Right, kids? I mean, this is about the Father, capital S. So that's God loveth the Son, capital S. This is how much God loves His Son. It says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that he may marvel. So how much love does the Father have towards the Son? Wow, I mean, this is no clues there. Let me spizzle over here to John chapter 16. Just be quiet. John chapter 16, verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So how much does God love us? Because we've loved his Son. How much would God love us for that? Wow. Or in that, you know, in the context of the people he's talking to there. Okay, so here we go. You're rich. Should we check these answers? You ready? Ready, Catherine? Got it? Okay. Now, I could have you stand and tell me the answer, but I won't do that sort of a thing because I remember those torturous days, too. Number one, the love of God. Well, that'd be Agrippa. It would be agape. Should have done this years ago. John 5:42. Again, talking about the love of God. Obviously, that would be agape. I've got to write this down because I'm thinking Agrippa all night here. Agape. Of course that'd be agape. Wouldn't you think the love of God? How about the love of he that loveth his father or mother more than God? What kind of love would that be? Well, the answer is phileo. Yeah, anybody have think agape would have fit that thing? Yeah, if you're going to love your mom and dad more than God, it can't be a phileo because that's more than God. But you don't love God at all. Ah, there's a sermon there. See? And here comes the guilt trip. Oof. P, phileo. Three. Four, to know that I have loved. What? 3:9? Well, love, okay, there we go. Three, loved you. Okay, that's agape. God loving us, sure, that'd be agape. Deep love. And then 3:19, for as many as I love, what does he say there? I guess you still better turn to those things, huh? Revelation. Oh, that's the one about chasing. Yeah, you love them, you're going to chase them. So what kind of love do you suppose that would be? Agape, but it's not, it's phileo. Oh, really? That's a phileo. If you're gonna chastise your son, it's because you just sort of kind of love him. And what do you always tell your kids when you're spanking them? This hurts me more than it hurts you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But in this case, Jesus is spanking his people. He only loves them phileo. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Says, therefore, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Well, what do you suppose? Okay, now if that says that's a phileo love in Revelation, what do you suppose Hebrews 12, 6 should say? Don't you think it would say phileo then? Because it's the same thing. He loves him to chasten him. Well, in Hebrews, it's an agape love. Okay, so if it's an agape love in Hebrews to chasten his children, and it's a phileo love in Revelation to chasten his children, we have a conflict. We've got a problem. No, we don't have a problem here. Just one of the first clues, well, the second clues after Revelation. One of the early clues that this whole thing is just a bunch of baloney. Doesn't even match. Okay, and boy, you know, you think they'd change this too after they heard about it, but I guess not. Matthew 23, verse 6. Loves the uppermost rooms. How much do you love rooms? Phileo. You're not into the rooms thing a whole lot. You know, I mean, it's nice. The decorations are nice. So phileo is good. How about he that loveth his life? John 12, 25. What do you have for that? Well, the answer is phileo. Those of you that put down agape, that's 5 minutes less in recess today. Yeah. This is a phileo was all. Now, how about Luke 11? They love the uppermost seats. Well, look at, we just did uppermost rooms as phileo, so what do you suppose the uppermost seats are going to be? You already got the thing figured out, don't you? It's agape. They like the seats, but they don't like the room. I mean, this is just stupid. This is silly. But yeah, the answer is agape. But look at Luke chapter 20. Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know. It's like you go to somebody's house, you love their macaroni and cheese, and you go to somebody's house, you hate their macaroni and cheese. You got a problem. You don't like macaroni. I hate macaroni and cheese. Well, I like macaroni and cheese. It's just contradiction. It's just silly stuff. Look at Luke chapter 20, verse 46. Talking about these uppermost seats. In Luke 11, they loved them, agape. But in Luke chapter 20, verse 46... Yeah, now that's phileo there. So in that case, they only kind of like him. But in the other thing, in Luke 11, they love him to death. Hey. Now don't try to second guess these things. You know, for this one, like the Father loveth the Son, John chapter 5, verse 20. Well, of course it must be. And my face, I could never, you know, my face gives it away. You would think it'd have to be what? Totally, but it's not. It's phileo. And that's amazing. And in fact, if you read the rest of those verses, or look at 21, are you there at all? Look at John chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and they say phileo love, kind of a whatever thing. Did you get one of these papers, Sam? Okay, good. and will show him greater works than these. He says in verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." He's committed judgment unto a Son he loves phileally, if that's how you would say that, in a phileo manner, just kind of sort of. There's something wrong with that. And then John chapter 16, verse 27, "The Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me." How much is love? How much love is that? Well, you would figure he died for us. You would think it would be what? Agape. But it's not. It's phileo. Now, if everybody got these all right, you cheated because you've done this before. But we miss them. This is silly stuff. Let's keep going here. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go down your list for a few more here. Just a few more. Are they still out there, Sam? Do they? Okay. I hope you found it on the website and are kind of going through it with your families out there a little bit. Because everybody's going to come in contact with people who think they need to know the Greek, or their pastor knows the Greek. And the best place you can take them is just to John and say, "Listen, these three loves, agape phileo." "Yeah, I've heard of that agape phileo stuff." And you just tell them. Some of these verses will click with you that you'll remember. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, "Lovers of pleasures more than lovers than of God." What would that be? Okay, phileo. But if you're going to love God, you're going to love these pleasures more than God, you would think it'd be agape. Or else you don't love, again, back like Revelation up there. So no, it's a phileo is all. So if you love those pleasures more than God, and all you love those pleasures is phileo, then you just must not love, which is what they'll preach to you then. Okay, look at John chapter 11, verse 5. John chapter 11, verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Well, Jesus is loving Martha. How much does Jesus love Martha? And her sister. And even Lazarus. What do you think? What better it be? It better be phileo. But it's not. It's agape. Yeah, it's agape. The Greek scholar, when they do their sermons and they do their books you can buy and everything. You go right back to this thing right here. It'll say agape. You can read it. It's amazing. Because now we have Bibles that say that, yes, he was married. Yes, he was in love with Lazarus, homosexual, based on this Greek baloney. See where this goes in time? Okay. Look at John chapter 20, verse 2. "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre." So when it says, whom Jesus loved, well, how did he love him? That'd be phileo, but yeah, Okay, so he loves Martha more than he loves John. If that's, if you put those two verses, that's a phileo one there.
Is it phileo?
Yeah.
Yes, phileo.
Yeah. But if he loves Martha deeper than he loves John, then we got a serious problem here. Which they say in the modern books, they do say that he does that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 22. "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema," Maranatha. Kirk, whoa, that's not good at all. So how do you think we ought to love the Lord? Agape, you would certainly think so, but they have phileo. So he's kind of like your buddy. Don't they? A lot of people think that he's just their friend. He's their buddy. They talk about him like he's their buddy, kind of a thing. Just love the Lord and be phileo. They say that. Okay, Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And it is. It's agape. That's good. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 24. "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." What kind of love do you think we would have there? Who's talking, that kind of a thing. Yeah. Agape. Well, and you know, I'm okay with that. Paul loved us that much that he did what he did. He didn't go to, didn't get to go to be to heaven. He stayed down to teach us these things. But where do they go with that, you know? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1:7. Talking about Timothy here. To Timothy, I mean. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. So what kind of love do you think God would give us? Should be agape. It is. Look at Romans 12:10. He's starting to get some right. That's good. You go home feeling a little better about yourself tonight. Hey, I got a couple right. Before I forget, you're all invited Wednesday night after church. Stick around after church. Bring some food, and then bring some food, and then bring some food. And
more food.
Probably more food. We'll do a couple of games or talk. Just fellowship. You know, it'd be fun to even talk about this stuff a little bit. Or just whatever the conversation goes or what we do. I'm sorry, I said that word, didn't I? See? I did, I said that word. We'll enjoy each other Wednesday night. We'll enjoy the night. I'd like to say we're going to relax, but I probably won't. But coming in, we'll have an enjoyable evening together. And the kids are going, enjoyable, Mom? I don't want to go to an enjoyable evening. I want to go where it's fun. Let's go over here to such and such. We'll have a lot more fun there. To put the trampoline on the roof. We can jump from the roof, you know, kind of a thing. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. What kind of love should we have for each other? Who says we have to love each other? Where's that in the script? It's right there. Okay, it's right there. Phileo. That's okay, phileo. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, are they still with us, Sam? Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Well, then, it says right there that, it doesn't say that thing either at all. Maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. Oh, here we go. Boy, I hate it when we do these things. 1 Thessalonians. My computer does that, Marilyn. Sometimes it types in words that I didn't mean spelling. Yeah, I did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the Lord make you to increase and aboundeth in love. We just found out they're supposed to love each other with phileo love. Let's not overdo it. So what do you suppose Thessalonians is? Okay, see, you got this thing figured out. It's agape. So just because you got one right doesn't mean it's going to be that way down the road. And it is not how some of us got through tests. I remember that question back in this first part, and you get the right answer, the true and false things. But no, this is a bunch of confusion. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. The aged women are to teach the young women to be sober. That's good. That's good right there. The example of being quiet. To love their husbands. To love their children. Well, what kind of love is... Yeah. I know where you're going to go with this. I'm going to feel really dumb up here. I know. That's a phileo one. That's what they say. Phileo.
Yeah, it should be.
Go ahead, Louis. Keep talking. This sounds good. You're scoring points with this thing. Right. No. This is not the... It's the next one that... No, be quiet. I got the wrong one here. Women, to love their husband's phileo. No, it should be agape. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay, good. They say phileo. How about Ephesians 5:28? Some men ought to love their wives. Don't even think. What's the answer? Agape. Big time. Agape. So what's the conclusion there? Men have to love their wives, agape, but wives don't have to love their husbands except phileo. Which is why they get on Facebook and talk about all their husbands like they do. And I don't see any men on Facebook except once or twice they drop in a comment. It's just a ladies thing. Weird. Okay, 1 Peter 2:17 talks about loving the brotherhood. Well, that's the brethren. Well, we already know that we're supposed to love them phileo in Romans. No, wait a minute. We're supposed to love them agape in Timothy. I don't know. What do you think? Love the brotherhood. Now they say agape. But now remember, and you won't get this from Gip stuff, remember, in the tribulation, they're going to have to love each other with agape love or they lose their salvation. So there is something to that, but it still doesn't support it. Because look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. What do you suppose the answer there is? Phileo. So in Peter's books, you have to love everybody, a deep and intimate love, but if you stick with Hebrews, it only has to be the phileo stuff. This is baloney. And then look at Titus chapter 3. What's that? 1 Peter is agape. Yeah.
It should be phileo.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be any one of those two. Neither one of them mean anything. This is how, yeah. So we're looking at Titus here. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, what kind of love did God offer toward men? That's Jesus Christ. That's the love of God. Yeah, agape. But they say phileo. So, there's no way. This is silly. In 1 John, we did that, didn't we already? 1 John 2:5? Yeah. Let brotherly love continue. Then say phileo there. I kind of zipped through that thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. What kind of love? Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. So what kind of love would that have to be? That'd have to be an agape love. So then they put the screws down on it, because if you're not keeping his word, then you don't have that deep, intense, intimate love, that kind of a thing. Now, isn't that, I mean, you know, you got to look at it and keep the thing around. And somebody pops a Greek thing. Just try. Say, listen, can I show you something just for a couple minutes? Can you just put the gun down just for a couple minutes? Let me show you something. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's kind of just pretend that they listen to you and you created some doubt because my pastor, he studies Greek. And I wonder what he thinks. So I'll have to take this and show him. You'll never see your friend again. But this is what this is. And to me, this is one of the many. I should never narrow it down. But this is a very hard passage of what the Bible says about somebody else in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. See, there's that truth again. And these are correctors. We're talking about Bible correctors here. And the Greek people, and the almost King James. This is what this is all about here. This person, which is your pastor, or it's your friend, or it's your neighbors that study Greek. And a lot of, I think we have people in our circles that are Greek studying people. I don't know. Okay, what does God think of those people? Well, he says that they're proud. Well, of course they're proud. They know Greek. Which Greek do they know? Know nothing. We just went through something that, nothing there. The agape phileo thing, there's nothing there. They know nothing. Doting about questions and strifes of words. Changing all the King James Bible words around. Nowadays, these kids that have grown up without any single Bible, they think we're the ones making an issue out of words. No, kids, this thing's been around a lot longer than your grandpa. This was a King James Bible for years, and your pastor and your teachers came along and changed all these words around. You're the one that started the problem, not us. And out of that's going to come envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. They're going to dispute over nothing. And that just gave me a thought for a sermon right there. If you don't mind. because it answers a question that I was asked the other day. Excuse me, I take notes here for a minute. Because I've learned not to speak out too quick, because I blow a sermon, then I don't know what to do next week. That's excellent right there. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt mind. Boy, that is good. And destitute of the truth. Get back to our friends and former pastors, etc. Supposing that gain is... See, there's your supposing that gain is godliness. And then here's the kicker. He says, withdraw yourself from these people. If there's somebody out there in the web land or listens to the sermon, according to this scripture right here from Paul, if your pastor bops a little Greek in a sermon, you should wait till the sermon's over if you can and hit the road. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay. Let's look at 2 Timothy. So after what you look at right there, and you see the silliness, and not silly, I guess, the confusion, the nothingness of agape phileo, then the question is asked, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe a pastor, or you're going to believe a Greek student or whatever? You're going to believe a King James Bible? Well, King James Bible, that which is perfect is come. Okay? It's there. It needs to be rightly divided. Okay? We believe that. It's inspired of God. All the Scripture is inspired of God. And it's there for what? Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. We believe that out of that Bible. We don't need to go to a Greek thing. We just don't. And here was one small example of why. But instead, people are believing 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and seducers. That's a pretty rough statement. So you're going to get involved in a church other than a King James church? Someday in your life, you ever think that would happen? I can deal with it. No, you can't. In other words, you're actually going against God's commands to tell us to don't be around that kind of teaching. Don't let your kids learn from a guy that's going to teach them about the Greek. I mean, we just don't. You ever read a good article about somebody that really got a lot of good stuff to say, and then all of a sudden you see in parentheses the Greek word... I'll give you another one here. I'll flash here. Here we go. A Greek word that says in there, susperasso. Well, that's to convulse violently. Well, we may have understood that Greek a couple of times. Sesperasso. Or how would they pronounce it? Susperasso. From 4862 and 4682. To rend completely, to convulse violently. Well, see? You bet you didn't know that, did you? I didn't either. How about Sisamon? I haven't got that one. Okay, Sisamon. I lost it there. Sisamon means a preconcerted signal. What does that mean? I'm not sure. A preconcerted. What's preconcerted? Get out your dictionary. I tell you, this is just crazy stuff. Here we go. What word did I say? Sisamos. Okay, Sisperasso. Oh, there it is, Sisperasso. Okay, Sisamos is a member of the Christian community. So we're a bunch of Sisamoses here. They go to school for this. They pay a lot of money to this. Oh, here we go. Sustenazo. Okay? Sustenazo. And that's to groan together. Ready? That's sustenazing. Or whatever. That's just stuff. Yeah, but it, you know. And a lot of those Greek words have different uses in there, and they're supposed to figure that out. Anyway, those are evil men and seducers that do that stuff, and it's going to get worse and worse. How do you know? Because that's what it says right there. And we did that verse this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. It's no great thing if his ministers, the devil's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's what they're doing. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They're resisting the truth. Men of corrupt minds, These men have corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. I wish that part of the Bible would just ring the bells of so many people that are stuck in a church where the pastor flashes the Greek and just get out of there. If you can. I mean, why not? We've been there. We've been through those places. That's what we're supposed to do. So you kids, when you grow up, not that you already haven't grown up, but I mean, if when you grow more, let that Greek thing be the quickest symbol. What do you think of Greek, Pastor? Oh, I went to school. Okay, I'm done. Goodbye. I'm not going to go to this church. It's just that simple. There you go.